Happy Sunday to you. It's the Georgia Show here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. I'm Jake Roos. He is noted Drew Aller hater, Jake Rowe. And we are from Dogs HQ. Appreciate you tuning in this weekend. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to Georgia versus Kentucky. And we got to shift the focus over to the Auburn Tigers, a 7:30 kickoff in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Never an easy environment to play in. We will get into all of that. But before we do, shout out to our friends over at Whataburger. Their touchdown tour came through Athens last week. They brought the food truck through. And if you didn't have a chance to make it over, I'm sorry to hear that. But make sure to swing by any Whataburger location. You can get breakfast all day. You can get an opportunity to get it late even. They are always open and keep it rolling. So where are they off to next, Jake?
They'll be October 11th at the University of Arkansas. At the University of Tennessee as Arkansas rolls into town. Tennessee looking for a revenge game there. And then they'll be at the, they'll stick around in the volunteer state. They'll go to Nashville for the Patriots at Titans. Then they'll be at South Carolina at Texas A&M on November the 15th. And then they'll be in Dallas on November the 23rd when the Eagles come to town. Then December 14th, they'll be at the Houston Texans when the Arizona Cardinals come to town. Whataburger.
I'm not foolish enough to believe that anyone here is going to be at the University of Tennessee this weekend. But
they may, you know, thousands of folks listen to this, you know, you end up in a house divided, you know, you have to go, you know, kind of feed the beast there. Your husband or girlfriend, you know, or wife or whatever ends up is a Tennessee grad. It happens, you know. Some people just get sucked into the state, like my podcast partner here, Jay Grease.
Listen, when first unwrapping your Whataburger, you may find yourself awestruck by what's in front of you. Hot, fresh, and made to order on a 5-inch toasted bun with 100% never frozen American beef patty grilled to perfection. Melty cheese, crisp hand-chopped veggies, and mustard. It may look more like art than food. Some even consider it a masterpiece. They aren't wrong. Whataburger. Just like you like it. Jake Rowe, people should have been liking what they saw on Saturday against the Kentucky Wildcats. Georgia handles business convincingly, 35-14, the final score. And you got your second string, third string in this one. Early on, third quarter, they had guys out there running around and making it happen for them. Let's look back on this game, Jake. What went right for Georgia? Because it feels like the answer is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you go out, you say, oh, my God, it was a, you know, nothing was going to happen to say, hey, let's put this to bed. This is a dominant football team.
Sure.
But you go out there and you cover, right? You cover pretty easily. Like, I mean, listen, if Georgia wanted to give Gunnar Stockton and company another series, I think they probably hang 42, you know, before you get the backups in there, whatever. Kentucky wasn't stopping Georgia. Kentucky wasn't really doing a whole lot against Georgia. They ended up getting a short field to finally get an end zone for the second time, but it's pretty safe cover there. Still plenty to work on, you know, still plenty of evidence by the conversation, still plenty wrong with Georgia, but plenty right too. The way Georgia ran the football, Gunner's improvement, all of that stuff. We'll get into kind of specific things that we like from the offense and the defense, positives from it, negatives from it, all of that stuff here in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you go out there again, cover the 20 and a half point game in the SEC. You know, those aren't easy anymore. And this is a Kentucky team that gave Ole Miss everything it could handle. Here recently. I mean, you know, gave Ole Miss one score game, and Ole Miss is a top five team now. So I don't think you walk away from this game saying, oh my God, this sucks. Great bounce back. Noon kick, feeling awful from the Auburn game. I mean, not the Auburn game, the Alabama game the week before. And you go out there and you get a three touchdown win. I think that's something that you can build upon and feel pretty good about.
I know what the answer is based on what I've seen on the message board, but I'm going to ask this of you. Does this win over Kentucky wash out the taste of Alabama in your mind?
Of course not. We had people in our game thread still bringing up stuff that happened in the third quarter of Saturday's game with Georgia up 35-7. You know, still kind of reliving that Alabama game. And
no, I said you personally, though.
I love that about Georgia fans, by the way. I do. I really love that. I mean, I love that it hurts, man. I mean, it's I was there once. Like, I remember, you know, Georgia losing to Florida in 2002. And shout out to my buddy Cliff Rushton, who was one of my best friends my freshman year in college, and we ended up at Georgia together. We were at Valdosta State at the time. Man, I saw him like Thursday of that week, and he looked like crap, and I looked like crap. And he said, "Hey, man, how you feeling about that Florida loss?" I hadn't gone to class all week, you know. I get it. I know where you're coming from. I want people to understand that. Like, I mean, I'm still going to make fun of you and pick at you and have fun with it. But it's at the end of the day, it's. But for me, no, not really. You know, just this team still has a lot of questions to get answered. But I do like the fact that from game one to game five, I feel like this team has already improved more than last year's team did from game one to game 14. Because last year's team improved zero, and this team has improved a lot. And I already like the way it's dealing with its injury situation better. I already like the way that, you know, like Gunner, you know, somebody mentioned it here in a second ago, and I saw it. You know, Chris chimes in. Gunner's still improving, but he has a bit to go against zone. I think in tough, close games, they may be best off staying stubborn with the run and making Gunner pull the ball on reads. I don't know about the specifics of that. I agree. Gunner still has to continue to get better against zone. But, man, I thought he improved so much because Kentucky made him throw against zone, and he did a really good job. Like he wasn't, you know, sharp or anything like that, or perfect, or, you know, one of those situations where it looked like routes on air, but it didn't look to give him as much trouble from a hesitancy standpoint as Alabama seemed to do at times. And, you know, I think you can build on that. I like the way he used his legs and all that stuff. Like I said, we'll get into the positives and the negatives of it, but it doesn't wash away the Alabama loss. I think you need to go get a win in the next 2 weeks and go into the bye week, having beaten Auburn and Ole Miss for folks to kind of forget about that Alabama game and really be positive about the future.
Yeah, no, I can certainly understand it from that perspective as well. I mean, and I agree with you wholly in that I feel like we're seeing continued improvement from week to week when it comes to Georgia. I think that you see steps taken forward. You see them getting better kind of each and every week at different things. I'm not saying it, putting it together is kind of got to be the focus, right? But you see those incremental things. I think that you already said they didn't improve at all from last year. And I would agree with that. I would also say, though, simultaneously, that we've seen the offensive line, I think, improve very, very steadily over the course of this season in a way that we never did last year. So I think that that's quite the improvement, personally. But there is something to be said, Jake, of there are a lot of people, it feels, based on the message boards, that – the Georgia may not be winning in the fashion that they want. The people seem to not be thrilled. There's a expectation of what Georgia is going to look like when they win a game, and even covering, which has been a rarity for the Dogs lately. A lot of people, it seems like, didn't get what they wanted from Georgia against Kentucky.
Yeah, they wanted to see better pass rush. They wanted to see more big plays in the pass game. You know, they wanted to see just straight up dominance. And while I thought Georgia played well and they handled Kentucky, kind of felt like grabbing somebody by the collar and just kind of holding them out there, they didn't dominate them. And, you know, we'll see if that's coming. You know, I mean, it's tough to do that. I mean, look at the college football slate this past week, the upsets, the chaos, you know. When a team, you know, the funny thing is when somebody goes out there like Indiana did, when somebody goes out there like Indiana did or like Miami did against Florida State, that's almost a little bit of a surprise. You know, like it's like, ooh, that really catches your attention when you see that now, because it's not the norm anymore. And, you know, it was like Georgia last year against Texas. I mean, Texas had closed that, you know, game down to one score. You know, but for the most part, you know, going into halftime, Georgia leading 23-0, everybody was kind of, oh my God, what's just happened? You know, this is wild. You just don't see it as much anymore. And it speaks to the overall thing. And listen, I still think folks are kind of adjusting to that, because if you notice, there are a lot of fans that are quick to tell you, I don't watch the NFL, right? Like, I don't watch the NFL. I just watch college. And in college, they're used to, hey, your team plays four or five tight games a year, or four or five really challenging games a year, and they blow out the rest of those teams. And even some of those challenging games, their team will just kind of overwhelm the other team and do that to them. Listen, when somebody gets blown, get their doors blown off in the NFL, it's a surprise. And that's kind of what's come to college football, is that parity, is that any given Saturday, or, you know, if you're Florida State, any given Friday type situation. And, you know, there we are, you know, kind of dealing with tighter games. And, you know, like I told Rusty a little while back, and I still believe it, put this 2021 Georgia team, 2022 Georgia team in this football season, look out, they're going to mow them down. But you're just not going to see teams put together like that very often anymore. I think every now and then some teams are going to do it, but they're going to have to do it the right way. They're going to have to kind of build up through recruiting and then just nail the portal for the short term to kind of build a team like that.
Jake, a big injury on Saturday, potentially. We don't really know the ins and outs of it, but we'll find out more on Monday. Monroe Freeling goes down in this one and unable to return. Additionally, Michael Morris, same deal, right? He's been dealing with stuff, it seems like, all year, hamstring. But yesterday, the shoulder goes out. He's unable to return. Kirby Smart in the postgame calling this one a MASH unit when it comes to these Georgia Bulldogs and their offensive line. I will say that Monroe Freeling injury is concerning, because it feels like Monroe was playing well. You weren't hearing his name a lot, certainly. But on the flip side of that, Jake, I feel like Georgia was able to kind of plug and play and keep going.
Yeah, I think they did a good job, you know, dealing with that injury. And, you know, that to me is the kind of injury that, especially when you already consider you're missing your starting right tackle too, you're down to your third and fourth offensive tackles. At that point, you know, that's the kind of thing that could cause you to go out there and have to win a 24-10 or 24-14 game against the Kentucky. And it probably hampered Georgia some, but it didn't a little bit. I will speak to the injury in this regard, though. Speaking Kirby Yee's, which is my second language, you know, in the past when Georgia's had an injury like that, Kirby will tip it. Even if Kirby says, hey, it's precautionary, we thought he could have gone back in, stuff like that, typically I think he's telling the truth on those things. And, you know, that's one way about it. But when he said Monroe couldn't go back in, this could be a high ankle. We have not confirmed that. It could be a typical ankle sprain. But no matter how you look at it, the fact that he couldn't go back in, he came out of that game with it 0-0. 7-0 on the next drive, he didn't go back in. And then they cut it to 14-7. You know, there were some times in that first half where I feel like if Monroe Freeling was at all capable of coming back into that game, he would have came back into that game and gave it a shot. Sure. You know, so Michael Morris, who we've talked about this already, had a broken hand to start the season, got a hamstring injury that he's dealing with since the Alabama game, and his shoulder came out against Kentucky. He went back in, you know, so I would be surprised if Monroe Freeling plays at Auburn this week. I would be very surprised. I don't even know how close it's going to be, but I would be pretty shocked if he plays against Auburn.
Is that – I don't know. Based on what you saw, though, yesterday, how concerning is that to you?
It's always concerning, man. I mean, it really is. It's always concerning when you have to deal with something like that. Sure. And, you know, I thought Bo Hewlett did a great job in that fourth quarter against Tennessee. I also think he came into the game against the Tennessee, you know, defense that had played about 55, 60 plays. So that was a little bit of an issue there. Auburn's not an elite pass rush unit. Like, they're good. And they've, you know, the Falk kid that they've got is a really good player. They've got another couple, you know, really good defensive linemen. But, you know, I think about when Georgia's kind of hanging its hat on the run game and wanting to be a physical run, you know, team, you know, Bo Hewlett, your step back, there's a reason he's Georgia's fourth tackle, right? There's a reason he's Georgia's third or fourth tackle, and it's because he's not like a complete finished product, great football player, elite guy. But, hey, listen, I mean, his number's been called twice in SEC play this year. Hey, shoot, you can say the Alabama game too, and he stepped up all three times and held his own and gave Georgia a chance. So I wouldn't expect anything different. But I do like the fact that even if you talk about kind of him bringing in a fresh body against a Tennessee pass rush that had been on the field a ton, I do like the fact that he's been in that environment. And that game was absolutely bonkers
sure.
when he came in and played. Like it was, and Georgia put together a couple – I want to say they put together a couple of touchdown drives. One of those was, you know, in overtime, but they put together a couple touchdown drives with him in there. He's not going to be caught off guard necessarily. How he responds to it remains to be seen, but it's not like he hasn't seen it before. Juan Gaston played in that game. Dontrell Glover started and played that entire game. Georgia's beat up along the offensive line. They are beat up, but I think they're doing a much better job of plugging and playing than they did a year ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's completely fair to say. Guys, look, it's Modelo season. If you don't know, now you know. You've been recruited to go get yourself a few cold ones and Modelo, the official beer. A few small beers from Modelo. Jake Rowe, I know, enjoyed a couple of Modelos the other night. How were they?
They were fantastic. And I got to say, I enjoyed them because, as we talked about before coming on there, I saw one battle after another. And Modelo is featured in that movie in a way that should never be featured in a movie. They're drinking and driving. But don't do that. Don't ever do that. We don't condone that. We don't judge a whole lot on the Georgia show, but don't drink and drive. But I saw that. They had it on there, and I was like, man, I gotta frost up some mugs and have some Modelos. And I did this, and they were very enjoyable. I had three of them yesterday evening. So
outstanding. Well, guys, look, clean, crisp, refreshing. Modelo, a great choice, whether you're tailgating or just watching the game at home. How about them dogs? How about a Modelo? Jake, switching it up here a little bit, talking about some positives from this one. And like I said, there were some people who weren't necessarily thrilled with how things looked. They wanted them to look a certain way. But the positives that came out of this game, in my opinion, I'll start with a couple for me. I thought that the offensive line, despite the injuries, continued to look good and looked like it's pressing along. I think you're seeing some really good depth from that group, which was something that Georgia lacked last year. I think, too, Chauncey Bowens continues to grow into that role of RB1, and I think he really looks like he has kind of a firm chokehold on that. And then also, too, man, Elijah Griffin, I believe, was tied for the team lead in snaps at the defensive line position. Freshman continues to progress and live up to the billing that he kind of had coming out of high school, which is significant for Georgia along the way. But from your perspective, I know that you were pretty happy with what you saw from the old QB1 there, too.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Duck Gunner did a good job of trusting his pocket, staying in it, and letting it break, you know, letting the zone break down with time. You know, Rusty and I were talking about it earlier today, and it's like if you start four cars off and you this is kind of how zone defense works. If you start four cars off side by side and you send them all out at different angles, the longer you wait, the further they're going to get apart. And that's kind of how zone defense works, is the longer you wait, the more the holes are going to open up, and you've got to be patient in that pocket. I thought he did a really good job, not only doing that to find places to throw the ball, but also doing that in ways to let the run lanes open up. And you saw that on his first touchdown of the day when, you know, third down, they drop, they continue to get depth. You end up with guys kind of with their heels near the goal line, and Gunner kind of takes off and, you know, finds a place, dives into the end zone and scores. You know, that was a really good play. And then later their own, you know, both of those were Stetson-like. Same end zone, same corner that Stetson did that against Tennessee a couple years ago with the scramble. And then also with just, you know, juking a guy out of his shoes, you know, kind of down there near the goal line on the second touchdown. I thought he did a good job with that. There was a connection with Dylan Bell right around 20 yards, maybe a little over 20 yards in the second quarter, where he kind of worked all the way from his right, all the way back around, and then came back to Dylan Bell against zone coverage. Again, I thought he did a good job. He's certainly getting better. He's got to keep doing it, though, because he's not to the point where you feel confident and, hey, Going to get Gunner back there, give him a clean pocket, and he's going to pick a defense apart. He's not there yet, but he's making some strides, and I do like that. I like the way Nate Frazier ran.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's going to have a better run game when Chauncey Bowens and Nate Frazier are clicking, when they're together, and Nate Frazier's, you know, taking care of the football. I thought him taking care of the football and the way he ran was positive. Also had a nice catch that he made a guy miss and picked up the first down there in the pass game. Defensively, I thought that Georgia, again, I don't know what's up with the slow starts from the pass rush, and some of it had to do with Kentucky just getting it out of there 100 miles an hour. They got it out of there quick. They did not want to hold
it. That's the MO, it seems like, from opposing teams this
season. Yeah, and funny thing is opposing teams are apparently kind of worried about Georgia's pass rusher. They want to try to get the ball out quick to wear Georgia's pass rush down. The thing is, though, is Georgia's pass rush gets better as the game goes on. Christian Miller had a big pressure at the middle. Elijah Griffin – put the guard in the quarterback's lap on the play where he missed the double move against Dalen Everett. Georgia's just got to start faster as far as the pass rush goes. If it starts faster, it gets stops quicker. If it gets stops quicker, get the ball back into the offense's hand, let that run game go to work and keep wearing that team down. Georgia's a run-first football team now. It just is. And, you know, somebody brought up Nnamdi Egbuko here. I couldn't agree more, man. You look at Nnamdi Egbuko, and he is put together in a different way. He's kind of put together like this here desk I'm dealing with right now. Just a large, large man, huge legs. You don't really look at him and think, man, this is a pass rusher. But, man, he had a swim move against Alabama and got into Ty Simpson's face one time so quickly, forced a bad throw, had his first sack in mop-up duty this past week. I thought Josh Horton was another guy that kind of flashed in that game and showed us a little bit of something. Georgia's got to manufacture a pass rush. And I think some of that's going to come with creativity. Watch Dogs HQ Plus this week if you weren't already planning to. We're going to have one, Rusty and I. We're going to look at some film stuff and discuss some of the pass rush stuff. But also, I think Ellis Robinson played a pretty good game. You know, he was beaten one time on a slant route right before halftime when Kentucky was trying to score there before the half and ended up missing the field goal. And then there was another one where he was beaten on a deep comeback where the ball had to be thrown in a perfect spot and he had pretty tight coverage. I'm not really beating him up over that. That's a tough play to defend on a rollout, and a quarterback's got to make a perfect throw to beat you. But yeah, those were some of the positives I saw. And you know, obviously, you know, Georgia still needs some work, man. They still need some work. I'm interested to see what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, they do, definitely. I think one of the things, Jake, that continues to confound me is some of the usage of some of these guys. One snap for Dwight Phillips yesterday. 18 snaps for Chris Cole, who's ostensibly, I think, one of your best players on the team, regardless of which side of the ball you're on. I do continue to wonder what's going on with Daniel Harris. We saw him out there playing a little bit of special teams, but what's going to be left for him when he comes back and when he's healthy? I think that the thing that's going to be on the mind of most people, and probably rightfully so, is the pass rush. But like you said, there is something to be said for the idea that other teams seemingly respect what George is trying to do when they get to the quarterback, because that has been the thing that everyone has operated out of this year, is get that ball out of your hand fast, other than maybe Ty Simpson, who had some time, a lot of time.
Yeah, he did. You know, Ty Simpson had some times where he could hold the ball, and Kentucky had a few too. That's what makes me think the pass rush has to get better, right?
Like, yeah.
Funny enough, one of the times that Cutter Bowley, one of the times that he had the most time to throw, he actually got sacked. Georgia covered it up well, and C.J. Allen kind of ran him down and sacked him for the first sack of the day. You know, there's a little bit of both going on here. But if there weren't those instances where teams were holding the football for a little while, then we wouldn't be talking so much about the pass rush. And also, when Georgia does get a pass rush, great things happen. You know, Christian Miller breaks the pocket there, I believe it was in the third quarter, and Bowley just kind of has to roll to his right and throw it away. You know, I mean, you know, when Georgia gets pressure, good things happen, and they just need to get it more often. You know, I don't know the answer to that. You know, I think they can get more creative in terms of simulated pressure, stunt games up front, things of that nature. But when I'm looking, but when I look at the, when I look at the still needs improvement, get the tight ends more involved. And I thought there was a very creative play. Again, we'll break it down on Dogs HQ Plus, where Georgia runs this escorts complex concept. I call it flame concept, where you kind of roll the tight end out with the running back in a bubble formation. You throw it out to the running back with a lead blocker. It really is just kind of a glorified toss sweep. They countered off of that, and that's the play Oscar Delp ripped off 34 yards there. Elias Williams, you know, gets a catch on the first drive of the game. Get those guys more involved because, those are mismatches for teams. Georgia's good enough to create mismatches for that. And just to get them more involved, especially early in games, and I think it would free some things up for Zachariah Branch, who's getting a lot of attention right now, and then Colby Young as well getting a lot of attention. But another thing I'll jump back to as far as the positives goes, I didn't mention this. Those two guys got as much attention as they did, and then the next two guys stepped up with London Humphreys and Dylan Bell stepping up and having really good games. So I think, but still, Georgia's got to get better, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's not a team in the country that is going to be able to sit just as good as they are right now and not get any better and have a chance to win the playoff or even really get into the playoff. There's so much football left to be played, and somebody's going to get better. And, you know, I've said it. And I've said it over and over again, Georgia did not get better last year. I have no problem admitting that. But that is atypical of a Kirby Smart coach football team. And I do think if you look at this team and you look at how Georgia's the least penalized team in the SEC, they are one of the best teams in the SEC at scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They are one of the best teams in the SEC at limiting big plays defensively, especially in the run game. I think that there are some things you look at and you're like, man, they're not poorly coached. They're just trying to find it in some ways and trying to get better in some ways. And I do think this coaching staff, even if you jump all the way back to, hey, we decided this offseason we wanted to be better against the run and to run the ball better. Two things they have improved dramatically on over a year ago. So I certainly think that Georgia's coaching staff has shown you if we identify it and we want to work on it, we will get better at it. It just may take some time. And Georgia still does, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. They got a lot of things they need to get better at.
I'll tell you who doesn't need to get better at anything. That's our friends at sunheist.com because they are killing it in the sunglass game. Get over there, check it out. A ton of different styles, always new styles hitting too. That's what's cool. They're always expanding their product line. Injected polarization, so you don't have to worry about delamination. You can build in a lot of custom ways. And they throw in the accessory bundle, which I always really appreciate. It's like those little touches going above and beyond. You get the little sunglass necklace. You get the carrying case, microfiber cloth, the whole deal. They throw some stickers in there for you. Great customer service, free returns, quick shipping. Free shipping on $65 or more. And our code DOGSHQ20 gets you 20% off. So if you're looking for some good shades for upcoming Christmas, or maybe you just need some new ones for yourself, code DOGSHQ20 works at sunheist.com and it works every time.
Use it as many times as you want. You get a pair, your husband, your girlfriend, your wife, whoever decides they like them too, use it again. Get 20% off those as well.
Speaking of good friends of ours, our friends at MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy Ludicky and the team over there. You can get over and check them out if you're looking to switch things up in your business or personal life. They have a number of different franchise opportunities for you, and it's not just fast food, man. I mean, they can go in that direction if you want to, but franchises encompass a lot of businesses. They specialize in setting you up with the ones that make sense for you and your life and your goals. So get over to MyPerfectFranchise.net today. Take your life and career into your own hands. And best of all, services are 100% free to you. They are paid by the franchises. So get over and check out MyPerfectFranchise.net today. Jake Rowe, we are moving on to the Auburn Tigers. 7:30, like I said, man, under the lights. We've been there when that's been the case, man. The place is rocking. It is going to be hot and heavy in there. And you know that there's nothing Auburn would love more than a win over the Georgia Bulldogs. I haven't seen the line on this one early. Have you?
Yeah, it's I believe Circus Sports came out with it at 4. Most I've seen is 4.5, but I've seen it all the way up to 6 too. So there's a little variation on here. Finding that more and more, like, you know, in the past when somebody came out at like 11 points, almost everybody was like 10.5 or 11 points. And this one, is already looking, kind of there to be a little bit of a, like almost a point and a half, 2 point differential in there, which is tighter than you would have thought during the preseason. And I picked Georgia to lose this game in the preseason. Auburn's been a weird team this year. I thought with Jackson Arnold at quarterback that they would really run the football, and they haven't been a dominant run team. They haven't been a great run team, giving up a lot of sacks, which is kind of weakness versus weakness there with Georgia in terms of getting them great receivers, really talented receivers, but they haven't been super good at getting it to them. Now, they've played a tough schedule in the SEC thus far, a couple really good defenses there, at Oklahoma and then playing Texas A&M, I believe it is. So it's certainly not easy what they've had to deal with. But with Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, Perry Thompson, they've got that Simmons kid that runs really well. They're certainly dangerous. And I don't know, when you think about having to go play at Jordan-Hare Stadium without Monroe Freeling, with that being a possibility there, and honestly, I think a very likelihood, just, again, Kirby Yee's, speaking it, Georgia's going to have to play really well. And I think getting its defense, in shape, to handle, a fast-paced team that had a bye week last week.
Yeah.
I understand where folks are coming from and being concerned about this game. I think Auburn is talented. And Jackson Arnold played a really good game last year at Oklahoma, when he was at Oklahoma home game against Alabama. And so, there's some talent there to work with. Georgia's just going to have to go there and play well. And I think if they go there and they play well, they'll beat Auburn. But I don't know. It's tough to kind of land on where you feel about this game really early.
It is.
There are some things, ways in which Georgia matches up well. I even think Georgia matches up well from a pass game standpoint. Not because I think they can just sit there and cover Auburn's receivers all over the place, but, Jackson Arnold just has not shown to this point in his career that he's an efficient, effective, pick-you-apart style passer. And I think eventually Georgia's got a chance to let that catch up with Auburn if they can play solid defense.
I'm with you 100%. I think that playing at Tennessee – is going to have been a huge advantage, though, because it's not going to be a more insane atmosphere than that. I don't even really know that you could have that. So Georgia able to kind of block out that noise to a large degree and also battle back. That's the other thing. A fast start in this one, we keep saying this, man, fast start would go a long way against Auburn, to go out, take the crowd out of it. If you could be the one to switch it up and get up 14-0, that would do wonders probably for your week.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that kind of starts with playing great defense. I don't have any delusions that Georgia's going to go in there and just run it down Auburn's throat. Like from the start, I think this is the kind of team you may have to wear them down a little bit. Chris asked me right here, he says, do I think they make a quarterback switch? I really don't think so. As much as I think Jackson Arnold is a little bit of a shaky passer, I don't know that, Deuce Knight is ready. I don't know if this is the environment you want to try and lean on him to come in and liven up your pass game necessarily. Even with it being a big home game like that, just the big game atmosphere is a lot. Whether it's at home or away, it's a lot. And certainly you're in better shape at home if you've got to do that. But, I think that – this is a lean on defense game, in my opinion, at least to start. And I think Georgia's defense has to get off to a fast start. I don't expect the offense to, because in a lot of ways, I think Auburn's front and Auburn's defensive talent probably presents a bigger challenge for Georgia than Tennessee or even Alabama, especially on the road, especially with Monroe Freeling out. But yeah, I think that this is a game where the defense has to get off to a fast start. It's kind of my early thoughts on it.
Yeah, I could certainly get down with that. I mean, that Alabama setup comes to mind. What was it? Into the second quarter, I think Auburn had 34 plays and Georgia had 11 on offense. So you can't put yourself in that kind of hole again. I think that would be destructive in a road environment. But like I said, Georgia has proven that they can kind of block out the noise and move on. So I think it would be a very an interesting one. And I think we'll get a better feel as the week goes on. We know who's available, who's not. I am very intrigued to see how it goes. But, getting this ground game going, I think going into a game like this is crucial. And I think having a guy like Chauncey Bowens, and if you can get Nate Frazier clicking like he looked like he might be on Saturday, that's going to go a long way as well.
Yeah, for sure. And, defense, offensive line game, no doubt about it. And Georgia's going to have to probably overcome some challenges to make that happen. And we're going to cover this one all week long, man. We'll have some historic stuff from Georgia Auburn, some of the great games, and talk about that over at Dogs HQ, Dogs HQ Plus, Dog Talk Live, Rusty Mansell coming later this week. And we'll have another Georgia show this week. We're going to talk this one to death. Because it is a very big game, and we're excited to do it, man. We're happy to talk about it like that.
Absolutely, man. Guys, look, like Jake said, get over to Dogs HQ. Make sure you tune into all the content this week. We are going to have this one covered from front to back in all the ways that you can.
I do want to mention before we get out of here, go ahead and make your plans for Georgia Ole Miss. No matter what happens on Saturday between Georgia and Auburn, Georgia's not out. Now, they've got zero margin for error, you would think, if they lose to Auburn on Saturday. But they're not out, and there will be another big home game coming to Athens the following week. I believe it'll be October 18th is the official date. But Dogs HQ will be at Redstone Market and Butcher. Come out, man. I picked up a steak and a couple of pork chops from there this weekend. Came home, grilled them up. They were fantastic. Also got myself a pulled pork sandwich as I was leaving the place. No, I didn't. It wasn't a pulled pork sandwich. It was an early kick. So I got myself a fried pork chop biscuit. Oh. And it was fantastic. Jeremy Johnson and I both got one, and it was delicious. So make sure you come out and check us out at Redstone. We'd love to see you. We want to hang out with the fans. We want to spend some time with you, and we've gotten a chance to do that this year. Show yourself. Let's go hang out.
Guys. Make sure to meet us at Redstone Butcher Market. Get over to Dogs HQ. We will see you later on this week. Thank you so much for tuning in this evening.